Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Migs Cast. I am here. My name's Steve Migs. We are live, but I guess not live for anyone other than us, but we're living it, man. I'm here with my boy, Kevin Deers.
Oh, man, this is the experience of a lifetime.
Kevin, huge wrestling fan. You also might know him from Metal Shop.
And Loud and Local.
Loud and Local, that's right. So we flew out to Dallas yesterday and made it in town for WrestleMania 32. It's going to be the biggest one yet at the big AT&T Stadium. It's on the WWE Network, $9.99, all that. I think it's actually free for those that are new to subscribe to it.
Yeah, you get it for a whole month. You get WWE WrestleMania 32 for free.
And that would also mean that you'll be able to check out NXT TakeOver, which is tonight.
And that is the hot ticket.
Dude, it on StubHub and on all these other secondary ticket market sites, tickets are going for like $400 a ticket to go to. Because think about it.
Yeah, I got shook down for tickets, man.
Yeah, yeah.
People were going to steal my shoes, steal my tickets. It was messed up.
We let them steal the shoes, though. Yeah. I mean, it's only the right thing to do. People need shoes. But anyways, we're here. We are back in the room where they're going to be doing NXT, which is the big convention center. It's a Radio Row. Basically, what that means is they just parade tons of wrestlers. We already see some wrestlers milling about. Apollo Crews, I think I saw.
Yeah.
AJ Styles.
We saw Bayley walking around.
Yeah, saw Sasha Banks. Also, we got Bray Wyatt walking around. So we're going to be talking to all these guys throughout the entire podcast. If you're not a wrestling fan, this is probably the worst podcast for you to listen to. All day on BJ and Migs this morning, you heard me talking to some wrestlers and just doing my thing here in Dallas. It's an awesome experience, and big thanks to Joe and the rest of the crew over at the WWE for setting this up. Oh, it looks like Sasha's walking towards our way, so why don't we get things going, Kev?
Oh, it's the boss.
They saved the best for first, I think.
This is amazing, right?
Exactly. You got to start with the best, man.
Yes, this is very, very cool. I've been raving about you in the ring for a while now. I've said, not only just my favorite female wrestler, but just my favorite wrestler in general.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And you're just bringing it every single time.
I try.
Yes.
I'm trying to make it where it's not just a favorite diva.
Right.
Just a favorite wrestler, period. I don't want to put a label on it.
Is it fun for you to hear that kind of stuff? Because for the longest time, people just had a certain stigma when it came to ladies wrestlers. And now all of a sudden, you and a few other people are just kicking that right through the door and just doing what you're doing.
Exactly. Like, that's been my dream of mine. Like, I've always wanted to be in the WWE, but I've always wanted to be the best in the WWE. That's always been my number one goal. So it's so crazy when fans come up to me and they legit say the same thing that you say all the time. I'm just like, this is so weird. It's weird, but it's just like, it's natural to me. Like, yeah. I have to be the best, so I have to go out there and show everyone.
It's funny, I'll watch your matches, you know, whatever, wherever you are. And it's funny because every time it seems like my wife comes home, I'm watching. It's not like I'm like just sitting all day watching this. Sasha, maybe.
All right.
You know what's up.
She'll walk in, she's like, all right, what's going on?
Yeah.
You're still watching another Sasha Banks match. I'm like, I don't know. And then she's like, oh, something came in the mail. Oh, here, it's a Sasha Banks t-shirt.
Awesome.
At the WWE show. Well, I got to represent.
Of course.
It's a Sasha Banks action figure.
Yeah.
Man, I like you guys.
What's going on?
You guys are good.
It's funny, speaking of Sasha Banks shirt, we do a big radio festival in town, and I was wearing the legit Boss shirt.
Hell yeah.
Stage. A photographer takes the picture.
Is that the one that I... Yes. Posted? Dude, that was awesome.
That picture has made so much traction, and I loved reading all the comments because everyone was like, that's not the singer of 3 days.
I know!
Like, all of a sudden, then it's an argument of who's the better singer. It's like completely gone past the fact.
Like, who is that guy?
And I was saying, you know, that means she had that saved, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I thought it was cool. I liked it.
See, babe, the shirt came through.
Yes, it really worked.
How much fun has this been for you? I know I've been watching some of the stuff on the WWE.com. You've been doing a great tour diary.
Yeah.
But how much fun has this been for you?
It's been crazy. Like, yesterday was actually the first day for me to be out of the hotel.
Uh-huh.
There's so many fans in the hotel. I was just like, let me just sneak out of here with my pink hair.
I was gonna say, it's real easy for you.
It's really easy.
Need a wig.
But it's been really fun. Like yesterday, going to see the arena or the stadium, so to say. I cried like a little girl. I couldn't believe it. I mean, people tweeted me pictures of the stadium, and I saw the picture of us in the middle. But seeing that live, that's 60 feet, and I'm just like, why the hell are the girls in the middle? That's insane to me.
Like, man,
what?
You got a big head.
I couldn't believe it. I was in shock. And it's just to see everything inside, too. It's
huge and the stage is amazing. So I just already thought about my entrance. I'm like, I hope I just don't pass out when I walk down the stage. It's insane.
I mean, how do you mentally prepare to know that, okay, I'm about to walk out of this curtain and there's going to be 100,000 rabid fans going
God.
For you?
I have no idea. I might just faint, but I just hope for the best. I just got to think.
That would be a WrestleMania
moment. Oh, that would be a great moment in history. But I have no idea what I'm going to do. Just thinking about it makes me, like, my emotions are always just going crazy because WrestleMania week is just insane. And just even tonight for the NXT show, I'm going to be there and supporting. And I'm just like, I feel like a proud mama. Like, I came from there and I grew up there. And it's just like, it's been absolutely amazing.
And you mentioned that because we're in the same place where the NXT events can take over, is going to be happening. And it's just like maybe like 50 feet away from us. Is there a party that kind of wishes, can I be a part of that one too?
Sometimes. Like, I really wanted to be part of NXT London. I was like begging Triple H. And he's like, no, you're on the main roster now. So, yeah. And I was just like, damn it. So it's really hard for me to watch back NXT, but I am such a huge fan and I can't wait to see like Sami Zayn and Nakamura and got Bayley's match. I'm so excited for her.
But who you got, Asuka or Bayley?
My girl Bayley. Right. Duh.
I got Asuka.
But I think I love Nakamura. I met him last night and I was like, King, marry me.
Is he as quirky as he comes off
of Dude, he's so cool. He was just in the corner just doing like karate stuff. And I was like, whoa, this guy's pretty badass.
No, he's got
it. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm so excited.
That is unbelievable.
NXT is amazing.
We were just talking about it yesterday. I'm like, I think we're going to be able to say, like, we were able to witness and watch. Like, how ECW was at one point, similar to the Monday Night Wars. I think this is like, we're watching a certain, like, a shift.
It is.
And when we're seeing more of your guys, like, people coming from NXT going into the main roster, it's like, I think the quality of matches are coming up. I think it's also bringing up the quality of matches for all the guys, the old dogs that have been around.
Hell yeah.
Like, oh, we've got some competition and it's within our own home.
Exactly, and it makes things better. Even I watch it go, all right, I got to step up my game. We'll see these girls coming up.
Whether it be ladies, whether it be dudes.
It doesn't matter.
Remember a certain match where you're like, okay, I need to step up my game.
Well, it's every guy's match that I see. Like, anytime on Raw, I'm like, wow, that was a great match. Mm-hmm. I have to follow that and try to do better than them. Any Sami Zayn match, I'm such a huge fan of his. AJ Styles, I'm like, ooh. How am I supposed to follow that? But, you know, that's my competition, too.
That's the fun part, I think, about doing anything that's performance-based.
It is.
You have your peers that you respect, but also a little bit you're like, I'll outdo them.
Exactly. Yeah. And these are people that I watched growing up. I used to watch AJ Styles all the time, so now that I get to, like, work with him, I'm like, this guy is so cool, but let me try to outdo you, bro. Let's see if you still have it.
What's been your favorite non-wrestling WrestleMania moment so far?
Non-wrestling?
I feel like things just have been happening, events. Like, has there been anything that has happened so far? Obviously non-wrestling because you haven't wrestled yet, but...
I haven't really done much. I guess just go to the stadium was the only thing I got to really do. And yesterday I did Superstars for Hope, which was fun. I went on the dance floor, danced a little bit.
What song?
So it was a Snoop Dogg song.
All right.
So, that's it so far.
Cool to have Snoop Dogg inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That's so, it's crazy to me. And I said this before, WrestleMania, what was it, 24 in Orlando. Mm-hmm. He was backstage and I was there with him that's my cousin.
Yeah.
Right when Ric Flair came back from his retirement match and we were backstage standing there and all the wrestlers were back there clapping. And I just thought, whoa, this is a crazy moment. And just thinking about it now, that Snoop's going to be there, Rick's going to be there, and I'm wrestling Charlotte. Like, how does this life happen? Like, 10 years later, what, like, oh my God, this universe is just crazy how things happen. So,
like, a moment where you're like, should we leave? Like, is this a moment where we should be here?
Well, his match is what was it?
Retirement match against Shawn?
But he did the Divas match after. Oh. So that's why he was backstage. And I was like, oh man, I don't want to be like these girls, but I'm going to be better. So it was cool.
I don't want to keep other stuff that's going on, but one last question. Is there a certain wrestler within the locker rooms that you always look to for advice?
I always go to Tyler Breeze. Mm-hmm. He's been so amazing since day one in NXT, and I always go to him for advice.
That's
he's
awesome.
The number one guy.
Gorgeous.
He's gorgeous and amazing. Very strong.
Yeah.
I learned a few things from him.
Well, Sasha Banks, man, it's like I said, saving the best for first. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Fan, I cannot wait for WrestleMania to see you do your
thing. Me too.
Us two idiots over here will be screaming real loud for you for sure.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right.
All right.
Hello there, sir.
Mic check. My little Rage Against the Machine chick.
Did you ever, okay, we're talking to Bray Wyatt, and we're definitely going to talk about WrestleMania in a second, but once you bring up Rage Against the Machine, I kind of start geeking out.
Oh, yeah.
My all-time favorite band.
That is my 100% favorite band of all time.
Awesome. Did you ever have a chance to see them live?
I went to Bonnaroo one year.
Okay.
And I didn't get the chance to see them.
Oh, yeah.
A lot going on at Bonnaroo.
There's a lot of distractions.
Yeah.
And sometimes it has nothing to do with the music.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, it always has nothing to do with the music. Yeah. Man, yeah, that's one of those bands that I've seen Audioslave. I've seen other, you know, Tom Morello play. I've seen all the guys basically play with other people other than Rage Against the Machine. It's so frustrating.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people didn't like Audioslave. I loved Audioslave. It was a combination of two of my favorites, you know, Soundgarden and Rage Against the Machine.
And you think about, like, Tom Morello, man.
Watchmen. Yeah, the Watchmen was cool stuff, too. Way out of his realm.
Have you ever heard of Brad Wilk, the drummer? He was in a band, and he was in it for a minute. I saw them play at, like, a small club with, like, 50 people. They're called The Last International.
I have not even heard of that.
Female-fronted band, bluesy. And he played drums, so you got this huge bottom end going on. And then you got this woman who's got pipes like you wouldn't even believe.
And Zach De La Rosa, he came up with another band as well, A Day as a Lion.
Oh, yes.
It's new stuff, and that's really, really cool.
I remember hearing a few songs and going, okay, Zach hasn't lost his touch or his anger one bit.
Exactly. I think his anger is why he's not in Rage anymore.
Do you feel like music sometimes, I feel like music probably has a lot of correlations with what you guys do, especially when you're trying to build this character and build whatever it is that you are. Do you find influences and inspiration from music that apply to Bray Wyatt?
I'd say it was all music, you know?
Yeah. Like what?
I think Rage Against the Machine was just to name one. Was instrumental because it was kind of like a voice of like I'd never heard anything like this, and it wasn't just the music.
Dude, I didn't even make the connection, but now when I think about all your promos, it's like that's a Rage Against the Machine song waiting to be written.
Oh yeah, I'm a grunge kid.
Yes. Well, we're Seattle guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. It was kind of like, I grew up in nowhere's land. You know, no one was talking. No one went against the grain, and it was kind of like Korn and Nirvana and Rage Against the Machine. They kind of taught me lessons that no one else would teach. Mm-hmm. You know, that everyone else was afraid to talk about. You know, that's how I learned about the Man and you know, all the horribleness.
Yes.
And you know that everyone else tries to put the film over your eyes, you know, but it really did. It just engulfed me, you know.
And I think about my parents, and they were always like, I think they would listen to this music, and they had no idea that that was shaping my mind.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they just thought,
oh,
this is just heavy.
Exactly.
All right, well, you know, but like you, it's like a lot of my opinions, a lot of my ideals came from the artist that I idolized.
A Rage Against the Machine record is a history lesson.
Yeah.
The stuff they don't teach you in class.
It really is.
Do you remember that first moment you heard Bomb Track? Like, I remember it was college radio, we're like, you get all this different music, and we're like, okay, I'll listen to the Rage Against the Machine record. No idea. I just love the cover.
Oh, I know.
And then all of a sudden, that opening riff, and then you just like, when it explodes, it's like, oh my God, what am I listening to?
I still, to this day, you know, I had, not to this day, I didn't mean that, but my childhood, I used to have a poster above my bed, and I would look at it every night. I know most people had like some hot chick or something, not
right.
me. Mine was a microphone with a grenade on it. and it's instrumental. It's actually helped me to this day, you know?
Yeah,
As an adult, it made me who I am.
Dude, was it surreal? WrestleMania is happening on Sunday. And all the media stuff is going on, all the craziness that's going on. And there you are, Bray Wyatt, at the New York Stock Exchange, ringing a bell.
Yeah, what was that like?
I mean, about like you would imagine. Like, I just walked around with a half smile going, you know, I'm so happy that I don't belong here.
The picture made it look like a kayfabe news article.
I mean, all the guys walking around in suits, they just gave me anxiety. I am so glad I'm not you.
Right. And they're probably looking at you thinking, I'm so glad I'm not that guy.
It was this serial killer here.
Strange different worlds when they emerge. Oh, man, that's awesome.
I felt uncomfortable, but it was like a car wreck, you know. It was just beautiful destruction you couldn't look away from.
Would you chalk that up as being one of the weirder things that have happened since working in WWE?
100%. Like, it was such a big deal to so many people. Like, I had no idea. I go walking into this place, and they were like, yeah, this is where George Washington was sworn in, and this was the first building with air conditioning. And
you're just like, okay.
I was like, what is this? Why am I here?
Like, it's a big deal. You're ringing the bell. And
it was
like,
very cool.
But if they were to say, this is where Rage Against the Machine played, you'd be like,
yeah.
This is the club they got their first show.
Yeah, it was very cool and surreal, and I'm glad I got a chance to do it. But it at the time, very uncomfortable.
Oh, I bet.
For everyone involved, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can look at that guy and go, you know how uncomfortable you are to be around me? I feel the exact way about you.
I know. They tried to make us, you know, they make little jokes to warm us up. You know, now we have the Wyatts here. And we just like blank stare.
Tough crowd.
Yeah, cool.
What are you looking forward to most WrestleMania weekend? Is there anything that's like where, like, whether it be something you're involved in or something that someone else is involved in?
I think, there's a lot, you know. Of course, WrestleMania is WrestleMania. It's cool to watch. It's cool to be a part of. It's a very interesting ordeal altogether. Something that's actually going on tonight, I'm pretty excited about NXT.
Yes.
I was just over there talking to Samoa Joe, and him and Finn Balor going at it tonight. Oh, like,
it's going to be insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's still where my heart is still a part of NXT. It always will be.
Right.
That's what Sasha was saying.
Yeah. I feel like we were the grandfathers of NXT. Yeah.
We mentioned it to her, like, I think we'll look back on this era of NXT, like how people look back on like ECW or the Monday Night Wars or whatever it may be. I think that we're pretty lucky. We're in the middle of something that's pretty exciting, I think, and you obviously are at the forefront of that.
Yeah, I mean, when we first went out there, I watched it. I felt it change. Like, at first, it was just like FCW where there was still like 40, 50 people out there.
Mm-hmm. You could only watch it on YouTube.
Yeah. And by the time I left, it had evolved into semi-quasi what it is now. You know, we weren't running all the big venues and stuff like that, but I can tell you this, it was airing in Canada, right? And I went up as to do a loop, and I did Salt Lake City, right? I come out and I do my entrance and everything. I come out to silence. I beat the hell out of Zack Ryder and I leave. And then
no big deal.
Yeah, then the next night I'm in Canada. And I come out, and you would have thought, you know, Kiss just walked out or something. Oh. And it was just like, I remember sitting myself and going, wow, what a testament to NXT. You know, this is a beautiful thing. I walked out here, and I was virtually unknown yesterday. And here I am now, a rock star, and Zack Ryder's going to get it even worse today.
And a far cry from the early days of NXT when you think about what it once was. And who would have ever thought that it would morph into what it's become?
Certainly not me. I was a part of both of them.
Do you look okay? So you're looking at the NXT. Of course, we have TakeOver that's happening on Friday night. We're pumped. We're going to be going to that. I mean, that's, I think a lot of people are like going nuts trying to even get a ticket to that.
Yeah.
Do you ever think like if I could just go back for one night right now to NXT, who would I want to take on?
Ooh, there's so many. There's not just one. I think if I had the opportunity, it would definitely be Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, I've seen you wearing that T-shirt.
Yeah. Someone gave me that shirt just to let y'all know. But, yeah, I think him. I always was very interested in the Japanese culture of wrestling and, you know, how it's a sport over there. I think Shinsuke would be someone I'd love to go to war with at some point. Kenta as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's so much, and like we were talking with Sasha, it seems like some of the new young talent is like lighting a fire under the ass of a lot of the older talent.
Oh yeah,
because it's like, hey, somebody's knocking on our door, and it's not—they're not in a different organization; they're in our own home. Right. We better step it up.
Yeah. I look forward to it.
Yeah,
I'm not afraid of any of them.
and you come off fearless on the mic in front of. I would imagine—is there ever a time though that you feel overwhelmed with like? You're out there in front of tens of thousands of people, or in this situation, nearly 100,000 people, and they're hanging on to every word that you're saying. Does that trip you out? I mean,
I'll tell you something that first of all, whoever's listening, just cut it out with the what chance. Yeah, it's disrespectful, and you're ruining the show.
And it's not 2003.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing it to everyone that's out there. Just, you know, if you disrespect me, you're only ruining the show, and that's to everyone. I don't care. I can drown you. It doesn't matter to me. You can't
My
do it to me.
My mic is hotter than yours.
Yeah. Like, but to me, I've always Something that I don't think people realize about me is when I'm out there, it's always dark all around me.
Yeah.
So it's like this warm vibe. I almost don't see people. Like, it's just like, it's just me and everything I wanted to get off my chest.
It's kind of meditative, though you're around that many people.
Yeah.
That's very trippy.
I mean, it's nerve-wracking sometimes. Like, if I don't really feel what I'm saying sometimes, it comes across. The ones where I'm feeling it and the ones where I'm not feeling it, it doesn't take a genius to understand.
You know? I'm glad you said that, too, because I as a fan, I get frustrated because I like to enjoy the show. Enjoy the show for what the show is. Let's see what happens. Let's see it unfold. Yeah. Let's start with the whole quote-unquote hijacks. I think it's gotten to the point where it's like, okay, you're cool and you're really smart and you guys know what you're in the know. You read the internet.
What's the point of CM Punk chant? Come on.
right.
Yeah. He's not here for you.
Exactly.
It's not like he's waiting back there going, one more chant and I'm going. Okay.
I can't remember where we were, but it was a couple months ago and I was fighting Kane and there was a Macho Man somewhere.
Yeah.
And I almost just jumped out of the ring and snatched Macho Man and just destroyed him because it was causing such a commotion. And it just, like, when I'm out there, I go 0 to 100 real quick. Yeah. My brain doesn't tell me this is not a good idea. I just go.
I'll just ask for forgiveness later.
So Macho Man, if you're out there, I swear to God, watch your back.
Coming for you, brother. Hey, we're talking to Bray Wyatt. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We're very excited. It's WrestleMania 32 week. Check it out on the WWE Network. I get weirded out. You know what? When the headphones go on, okay, before we even forget, we're talking here with Apollo Crews. We're at WrestleMania Radio Row.
Yeah.
And we're just talking. I like having headphones on because if I don't have them on, I think I might curse. Like, the headphones are like grandma just walked in the room.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. I kind of get that feeling too. Grandma, my grandma didn't speak English, so she may not understand if I was a cuss, but my mom definitely, I could see that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's like, what are you saying?
I learned some curse words from my mom. So I think she'd be like, good choice of a word, son.
The funny, when I debuted in Brooklyn, I think the first word, the first thing I said out when I came out live on the network was, it was a cuss word because I just walked out and saw all those people.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
Yeah. My mom was watching it. She was like, did he just say that? I was like, you don't know what you're talking about.
That was post-production. They wanted me to see more edgy.
Yeah. You know, just like,
which curse word was it?
S-word.
Okay.
I said the F-word later on, and I was like, oh, I can't say that word either. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm messing all the way up.
Well, I would imagine it's like a lot of emotion going on in your head. Here you are. This is a huge moment, a lot of anticipation, a lot of hype.
For sure.
You know, and then you delivered. I mean, obviously. I think everybody lost their mind the first time we saw you in the ring in NXT.
Thank you.
It was like, okay, this is exactly what we were all hoping for, and it keeps getting better and better.
I love it. I love it, man. It's great to be a part of this, man, especially coming out here to, you know, WrestleMania, man. It doesn't get much better than this.
Who's your guy in the locker room that, A, would inspire you to be a better wrestler, and B, that you want to, like, I hope that we get called up at the same time? You know, like that kind of like, okay, we're in this together.
Yeah, for sure. That's tough. My boy, Levis Valenzuela, is hasn't made his TV debut yet, but he's a great dude. He's one I bonded with. We ride together to the shows.
Cool.
And that's one guy I could look at and be like, man, I hope we look back on this like 6 years from now or whatever. We're on the, you know, main roster together. Just say, hey, remember the time where, you know, he's out here this weekend. So he'd be like, remember the time we went to whatever, LA Fitness in Dallas?
Blowing people's minds even at the gym.
Right. You know, so it's something like that too. And there's a lot of guys, that motivate me. You know, it's what I love is like it's such friendly competition down here. And we all want to go out there and steal the show. But most of all, we want to go out there and have the people chanting NXT from start to finish.
Oh, so that's got to be a great feeling.
For sure.
And then I wanted to ask because, you spent your time in Japan.
Yep.
Then you come here, a lot of anticipation, a lot of talk, a lot of buzz about Apollo Crews. All of a sudden, now we're witnessing it also with Nakamura.
Yeah.
You know, spent a lot of time in Japan.
Man, it's crazy.
I mean, do you pull him aside? Do you have words of advice? I don't know, maybe dance tips? Who knows? Whatever it may be. But, like, I mean, here you got.
I think he would give you dance tips.
Yeah, he's good on his feet.
My dancing is, I might have two left feet. I don't know if I'm the best dancer in the world. I got, I think.
You make up for it in the ring.
Yeah. I could give him, if he wants to learn how to flip or something like that, I could definitely.
Yeah,
definitely
and standing flip.
right. The dance moves, I'll leave that to. That wouldn't be a good sight.
But I would imagine he's probably feeling the same things right now.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure,
I mean, you had a lot of anticipation for him right now.
For sure. It's cool to come in here and see that the translation of, you know, people, the fans that watch just different brands of wrestling. Because, like I said, I was asked earlier of if I came in here expecting people to know who I was, and I did it, you know, and I walked out and some people were familiar with me. I didn't know that the NXT or WWE universe was familiar with
you know, independent.
Right.
Now that I'm here, I realize that, but I didn't at the time. I was like, I'm gonna walk out here and it's gonna be crickets and.
That's a great point.
Complete opposite of that.
I mean, like, what is going on?
I think they witnessed it even with, like, AJ Styles when he came out for the Royal Rumble.
Sure.
Nakamura, when they showed that quick little, like, that crazy, like, cell phone
Austin
footage
Aries.
Video.
Oh, yeah. Austin Aries. It's crazy.
You see the reaction of the fans. I would imagine, like, the fine folks up in management are thinking, oh, man, we didn't realize that people knew that these guys and they were on their radar.
Right,
we got to start paying more attention to these dudes.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's good to experience it, like, too, is you get all these dream matches that you never get to see anywhere, like, Nakamura versus Sami Zayn, or you know,
right.
Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe. It's cool because any other place you wouldn't get to see certain stuff like this. So I think that's the people get to experience some great stuff.
And it's you're taking on the Drifter.
Oh yeah,
and he's a brooding individual.
Love singing. But I think it's all going to end today.
and a lot of people have been talking about, you know, like obviously at some point, whether it be, you know, Samoa Joe wins or whether it be Finn Balor wins, some of those guys are moving up to the next level. And a lot of people are thinking, well, the brass ring or the baton is going to be handed to Apollo Crews at some point. Do you pay attention to that noise, or do you just kind of have blinders on?
It's a little bit of both. When I first got here, I got caught up reading a lot of the trolls or whatever they call it.
The fans, quote unquote, the fans.
Right?
I stopped, and now at first it bothered me.
Oh,
now,
I bet.
Yeah, now I get.
They're still a human being.
Yeah,
yeah.
I get amusement out of it now. I'm like, man, these guys. And then I look, and it's at first I was like, what? Not just me, but they do it to everybody. So it's, for me, it's. At first I was like, dang, what did I do? What am I doing wrong? And now I'm just like, ha ha.
But we have a bud that plays on the Seahawks. This guy Luke Wilson. He said sometimes the guys will sit in the locker room and they'll read the tweets that they're getting from the fans. You know, to kind of like lighten up the room.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever do something like that where you're like,
now and then we do, like, it might be like a
mean tweets.
Yeah. Something like this guy said, or like
I saw that on Edge and Christian show. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's so funny because I just randomly look at this guy's. They'll tell me whatever, you know, and it's just like I read one or two and I'm like, all right, you know, that's enough, because it's
right.
I don't need that kind of, you know, negativity. You
and
know?
Sometimes I wish, like, you could, like, I mean, we do it too with our jobs. You know, we have a direct line via text for our listeners.
Yeah.
And there are some days where I'm like, man, everybody's in a bad mood.
Yeah.
And then you want to write them back. And sometimes I do. I'm like, you realize that I am a human being reading these awful things you that you're saying.
Yeah. I want to, you know, every now and then, but I know I just leave it alone.
You got to. You can't, as they say, don't feed the trolls.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. It's funny.
Apollo, think back to the 90s. Now, imagine yourself as a wrestler in the 90s and you're not at WWE. Would you be a WCW or an ECW guy?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Back 90s, I'd have to go with WCW.
WCW?
Yeah.
I could see you in there.
WCW. Me and my brother used to... don't try this at home. We used to practice all that stuff. But it'd be like
a backyarder.
flipping back and forth between Raw. And
it was a golden age, man.
It was crazy. And that's, like I said, I look back, and that was history for me and him, or, you know, the guys grew up with us. But that's what we get to do now. You know, guys can look back and be like, yo, NXT, you know, you're part of that. How's that?
It's funny because that's been the theme of the interview so far we've been doing. I mean, we talked to you, we talked to Sasha, we talked to Bray Wyatt. We're all talking about how I think, I'm positive people are going to look back at this time now.
For sure.
As being one of the biggest groundbreaking moments for wrestling.
It's crazy, man. And I think, like I said, those dream matches that I was talking about earlier, what makes it so different and interesting for people to watch or want to be a part of. I think it's a great place if you're a sports entertainer, amazing place. And I'm excited about right now, the future.
Yeah.
You should be, man.
Tonight. Yeah.
That's
Sunday.
Awesome.
This weekend is going to be crazy.
We had a good conversation with Bray about just music and how, like, Rage Against the Machine kind of helped dictate who he is as a character.
Yeah.
And for you, outside of wrestlers, is there something that inspires you to be the Apollo Crews character, whatever it may be, whether it's a musical artist, whether it be an actor? Is there something that you look at and be like, okay, I could take something from that? And we might not even notice it, but, like, you do.
That is a great question. I never actually sat down and thought about it. I'd say probably more with... like superheroes, for example. I was watching Daredevil last night, you know, is going out here getting all these answers or whatever, but, you know, he's really against, like, you know, killing people and stuff like that, but he'll do whatever it takes to get where he wants to go. Besides that, you know what I mean? And he's just, his friend was saying, you know, you don't have to be this guy, you don't have to do this, you know, and he's just like, you know, but it is, I do have to do it, it's who I want to be, you know, and it somehow inspired me in some kind of weird kind of way. It's like, I guess when you want something, you go get it, no matter what it is. You know what I mean?
I bet there's a lot of comic fans on the bus backstage.
Yeah, there's one I know. Tom Kingdon is his name. He's a former bodybuilder. He's a huge comic fan.
That's awesome.
I walked in with Incredible Hulk shirt. He's like, what are you doing wearing my shirt?
And I'm like, you rip it off.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, what do you mean? It start turning green. And
dude, I got to ask you, it was critically panned. I loved Superman and Batman.
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman. What'd you think?
I hadn't watched it yet.
You haven't watched it yet? Yeah, all right.
The all thing
right.
is, I heard...
Don't listen to the critics.
Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews about it. I just haven't had a chance to go out and watch it. That's the only thing. But I definitely do want to see it.
Favorite comic book film?
Oh, I enjoyed watching Deadpool recently. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but I hear that's awesome.
Seen good. That one twice. Had
real
to.
Good. Real good. Very funny references in there.
And, yeah.
I think I went to watch it with like a bunch of like younger kids. Every time they...
Yeah. bring a school bus of 12-year-olds.
Yeah, I think every time something happened, they'd like... start laughing at something. Me and my girl are like, what's going on in here? I think we chose the wrong time. Maybe we should have came on matinee for the older people or something. I don't know.
I wasn't like a huge fan of Ryan Reynolds going into it, but he killed it.
He killed it.
And yeah. I thought it was awesome and admirable of him that he was so dead set on keeping it an R-rated film.
Yeah.
And I think, you know what? Like, yeah. It paid off, but that was a huge gamble. I mean, if it failed because it was an R-rated film,
right.
He's considered he's the bad guy
for
that.
Yeah, I think that makes it better in a way, though. You know what I mean?
Yep.
As far as like movies go, you know, people enjoy that kind of edgy stuff. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, 100% agree. Yeah.
And now there's talks about making Wolverine rated R.
Oh forget about
that?
It.
Yeah. It's got to.
I don't want to keep your time, but one last question. I know you mentioned you have a lady in your life. Does she ever freak out about what she sees in the ring? You know what I mean? Like, I would imagine, like, I think, well, my wife probably, I would like to see me get beat up every once in a while.
I can arrange that.
But thanks. There is
sure,
a ring.
I'm just sure follow. Could.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. But is there ever a
time? Right,
yeah, let's do this.
Over there. Yeah,
oh, man.
Get these guys, fans, we're good.
Standing shooting star.
Right,
right on me.
Hey guys, apologies, but Apollo and I need to go in the ring for a minute. It's for my wife.
We got something to settle real quick.
He didn't take the trash out.
Yeah, right. I got to do it.
But did she ever trip out? Like, you know, seeing what you do? Like, do you ever get a text like, are you okay?
Yeah, I'll get that every now and then. Or I can see, sometimes I'll glance and see her like real like.
Oh, I didn't even think about
like,
that.
Yeah, I'm all right. But,
it's like, you know, Rocky.
Adrian, you know what I mean? Yeah. But she's very supportive. She's coming out here this weekend and so supportive. And I couldn't ask for anything better.
Outside of you, who's her favorite wrestler?
She, funny thing is, she doesn't even watch wrestling.
Oh.
She's not a wrestling fan.
See, my wife said she's not a fan, but she definitely is not, like, she's not opposed to watching Randy Orton matches, I realize.
Yeah.
I'm like,
maybe
all right.
Maybe some Roman Reigns in there.
That's my little sister's Randy like Orton. That. She doesn't watch wrestling, and that's a certain guy she'll watch. But I thought you don't even like wrestling.
Yeah, right.
Right, yeah.
No, I just like men in spandex.
Well, who doesn't?
Man, I love
I mean,
it.
Really?
That's
why I watch.
We live for this.
Right?
Apollo, thank you so much for taking some time. NXT TakeOver tonight, taking on Samson, and that's going to be on the WWE Network.
Network, 9 p.m.
We're going to be here, so look for us two crazy. Well, I guess we'll be one of many crazy guys screaming for you.
Two bold guys just cheering.
Yes.
We got it.
All right.
We'll have some fun.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
And I'm very excited about the next guy we're about to talk to because I listen to his podcast all the time, every week.
Yeah.
The Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast with a little help of Sam, it's nice to have you.
Thank you.
As a wrestling fan that's been a fan my whole life, I have a lot of, I feel like, even though I've never met you, I feel like I have a lot of similarities, and it blows my mind that you have Howard Finkel doing the wrestling intro for your podcast.
That's amazing. That's what I said, because, like, you know, I've been doing wrestling interviews and talking about wrestling on the radio for a long time.
Yeah.
But I got into the podcast game a little after. Like, it was like a year and a half ago.
And I feel like a lot of people were probably like, why isn't Sam doing a wrestling podcast?
Yeah.
Because of your YouTube videos and all that stuff.
Yeah. And I just wasn't necessarily ready to commit to doing it every week until I was ready. But I said, okay, what can I do to separate myself from the pack immediately?
Mm-hmm.
And it was get Howard Finkel to do. I was like, once I get Howard Finkel to do the voiceover, I don't need anything else.
Yeah, at that point, you've really just like kind of like staked your claim in the podcasting world. I've got the Fink.
Right. Let me hear your intro, bro.
Yeah.
Let me hear your intro. Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Sweet intro. What? Yeah. You got a robot voice. That's awesome. I got Howard Finkel.
Howard Finkel.
And every time I hear it, I still get geeked out. I'm like, I can only imagine for you. And it's awesome.
You need Gary Michael Capetta, man.
There you go.
That would be a good one.
That would be a good one. All right, I'll take that.
Yeah.
You know, hey, it's no Howard Finkel, but I'll still take it.
I'll hit him up.
Okay, we'll make some calls. I wanted to talk to you because, man, you've been doing this for so long. Like, just I always love talking to people who legitimize what we love, because it's always been like wrestling. It's always been looked at like, oh, that's just some what you know, you're watching a circus or you're doing this or a soap opera or whatever it may be. I'm like, no, you know, there's actually people that do normal things that love wrestling. And
right.
I feel like you have helped make it more mainstream in the eyes of a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, it was weird because in the beginning I was just doing it because I liked it and I liked the idea of taking things that I like and things that I'm passionate about and things that I spend a lot of time with,
mm-hmm.
and getting that to mesh with my work life. You know, I'm not like a hobbyist.
Right.
I like to take the hobbies and turn them into, you know, what I do. So it's all one thing.
And, yeah, and it's so much easier when you're talking about something you're passionate
about.
Exactly. Right.
And so that's what, in the beginning, that's what it was all about. And then I kind of realized what you're saying, that that was a thing, that there's this mainstream, because it's always been frustrating to me as a wrestling fan, too, that people don't take wrestling seriously in the mainstream.
Right.
And I didn't at first realize that I was doing that, that I was, I guess, sort of mainstream person that loved wrestling and being very vocal about it.
You're a tastemaker, Sam.
Yeah. And so that later on, I was like, you know what? This is, and that was one of the reasons why I was like, I want to be involved in wrestling as much as possible.
Right.
So that anybody that knows me from anything outside of wrestling is like, oh, well, I think he's cool.
Right.
So maybe this is kind of cool.
Maybe I'm willing to give it a shot and listen to that. And I don't know, you grew up in New York as well, right?
Yes.
Okay, so as a kid, I would imagine my favorite thing was right after WrestleMania, watch George Michael's Sports Machine. And it was like the one time a year that he would do some kind of talk about wrestling. And it was always like, or like, you know, Warner Wolf back in the day. And all those guys, I'd be like, oh, this is awesome. For one day, they're finally doing something about things I care about.
I would always get excited because WrestleMania, like the week of or the Friday before, whatever it was, WWE would get the daily news to cover their WrestleMania stuff.
Yes.
So it'd be like, yes, wrestling's in the newspaper.
It was the masked guy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Yes,
totally.
Yes.
Totally. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
So it was always whenever it would trickle in, because it was like wrestling was this little world over here that we had. And when it would seep into the mainstream, I was like, whoa, everybody's going to find out. This is great.
And now we're seeing ESPN doing it. It was a great article in Sports Illustrated about why ESPN's doing it, which I thought was just, I sent it to my boss, who's also a big wrestling fan. He's like, yeah, okay, so it makes sense for me to be broadcasting live from Dallas.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and I think people are figuring out now the traction and the way those wrestling fans would just follow wrestling wherever it goes. TMZ figured it out a couple years ago, where it's to the point where they're breaking wrestling stories specifically because they know that, look, say what you want about it, but we're going to get way more clicks on this than you know, your Joe Blow celebrity was pumping his own gas or whatever story they're covering.
And they're saying that, like, right now, like, the page views on ESPN's website are through the roof for whenever they, I mean, so, yeah, you're going to get the people like, this isn't sports, you know, and it's like, okay, well, you can't make anybody, you can't make everybody happy,
right,
but you are doing a disservice to your fan base if you're not at least tackling it and touching it and talking about it. For you, what's been your, I mean, you've been doing a lot of these for a while. I mean, you know, from the SummerSlams to the WrestleManias. Do you have a favorite memory of any of them?
As a fan, I mean, it's tough to beat your first show. So, like, I spent 4 years in England growing up when I was a kid.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
And my first,
that's awesome,
my first show was in 92 at SummerSlam.
Oh, wow.
At Wembley
Bulldog
Stadium.
Bret Hart.
Yes.
Jeez.
And so it's real tough to beat that one. And my dad was able to get good tickets somehow. It was somewhere
huge, right? What was the attendance number on that?
It was 80,000, I think.
Damn.
I mean, it was massive. And they didn't know how to park cars. For what, I don't know if it was an England thing or what it was, but like the parking lot was just a field.
Wow.
So it wasn't like there was no rhyme or reason about
it.
And I was 8 years old, but I always remember sitting in, I was through the roof because, you know, I just saw SummerSlam, so I was not in a bad mood about it. But we sat there for hours, literally over an hour, trying to get out of that field because 80,000 people had just parked their car on it, and there was no sort of
and you can't leave early.
For anybody
you got
to
see the ending.
I mean, Bulldog Bret Hart is the headliner, and we're not leaving before Bulldog Bret.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah. Right. But, like, so, yeah, so, like, a show like that, I'll never forget. Probably one of the most memorable pops, as it's called, that I got to see was I was at Madison Square Garden the night Triple H returned from his injury.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just... it was just an amazing, amazing reaction to hear the... I've never heard... well, I've never heard a Madison Square Garden reaction that loud.
Right.
Didn't he leave a heel and come back pretty much a babyface?
Yes, which I think is probably...
everyone was excited.
Yeah, and it's probably the same thing's going to happen to Seth Rollins, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody miss it. Like, literally, you're watching... usually when
that's
a wrestler leaves with an injury, you're like, okay, the show goes on, and you're happy to see him back, but, like... I don't remember the last time I was watching the show actively missing someone. Like, I miss Seth Rollins when I watch the show now. But, so there was that. And the only other, like, reaction that I'm really happy to have seen in person was WrestleMania 30 with Daniel Bryan.
That I was... mean, for us, we're Seattle guys.
Yeah.
So I was there for the takeover that happened when, you know, the crowd took over. And I'm not a fan of the takeovers typically, like when people are trying to be, the fans are trying to be being more important than the actual event that's happening.
But when it was organic, when that happened,
that one made all the sense in the world because it's like, we want this. This is our hometown guy. He's in the ring right now. Show him the respect that we think he deserves.
Right.
Dude, I lost my voice. I never lose my voice, but I was like second row screaming my brains out.
Yep. Like everybody just forgets everything and becomes a mark
again. CM Punk was just laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
So much fun. And then.
What a great moment.
It was. I went to the SummerSlam where he won for a half a second.
I was there too.
Yeah.
And I mean, the reaction there was like incredible.
Oh, and I'm getting goosebumps even talking about it, man. Yeah, that was so awesome.
I loved that moment. It was one of those things too, and it's the way wrestling works. In the moment, I didn't mind that Randy Orton had come in and cashed in because I was like, okay, I get it. It makes Randy Orton the biggest heel ever.
Right.
Because we love that. We got our moment. The problem, I think, rose when Daniel Bryan never really got repercussions for it. Like he never, like he had a clean win over Cena when he won for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Right.
But he never really re-got the win to make it count. He never re-got the title until it had to happen at WrestleMania. Like
that's a good point.
And I think that was part of that whole era.
And the frustration that led to that actually ended up happening at Romania.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then I had that moment. Yeah, I couldn't only imagine what that was like. I mean, we got to be there for the retirement announcement, and that was just—I mean, it was just so powerful.
Yeah, it was a lot of grown men crying.
Yeah, dude, and it was great because I was right next to like an assistant coach for the Seahawks, who Daniel knew, and it was like the same row. We were in the front row, and there was like his family. So he goes, hugs his family, shakes that guy's hand. Then I'm the next guy, and he's like, "I'll hug you too." And I'm like, "This is amazing! It's like you become a 12-year-old again."
Absolutely.
Oh man, but I do want to thank you for. A, also doing a podcast that makes wrestling fun. I think you come from a place of this is entertainment. Let's embrace it. Let's have fun with it. Let's not be overly critical.
Yeah.
And I think it's great what you do. I love your podcast. I love the break. My favorite part really is the State of Wrestling when you and Katie break it down because it's
he just loves Katie.
Well, yeah, Katie's easy to look at, and she's and she's a wrestling fan. That does
a real wrestling
and
fan.
A fan of gadgets too.
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, to hear you two talk, it's like I think a lot of wrestling fans would agree with me that we feel like we're in the room with you guys.
Good.
And thanks for doing what you do.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to it.
Right on.
You know.
Well, thanks, Sam man. Roberts, man, hanging out here. Check out the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast as well as his other podcast, too. And if you have satellite radio, listen to him on OB Radio, too. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, thank you.
Thank you,
and
man.
And
thank
Sam you. On all the social media.
Everywhere. NotSam.com.
All right, we are here. We are hanging out with AJ Styles, the phenomenal one. And I'm just at a loss for words. I'm pumped that we have you here. I'm pumped that this is would you ever have thought in a million years you'd be doing WrestleMania Radio Row?
I'd written it off, man.
Yeah.
I just assumed that, all right, there's not going to be a WrestleMania moment for me, and I'm okay with that. I'm going to live through this. You know, it's going to be okay. I'm glad it's happening. I really am, man. I'm so excited.
Dude, I mean, I don't even know how to wrap my head around the fact that you're going to, at some point, I don't know if you can, walk out down a ramp with 100,000 people losing their mind for you.
You know, man, it's unbelievable when you think about it. I wrestled in the Tokyo Dome earlier this year, probably about 40,000, 50,000 people.
Right.
You know, and it's going to be doubled, you know, at WrestleMania. It's unbelievable.
Are you the first wrestler to wrestle Wrestle Kingdom and WrestleMania in the same year?
So I've been told that there are two other guys.
Okay.
Vader.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Benoit.
Wow. All right.
Those are the only two.
Well, that's a terrible company to be in.
So I threw out a... hey, well, is there anybody that's been on Wrestle Kingdom, MSG, and WrestleMania all in the same year?
Mic dropped.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so. Take that, fellas.
It's funny. Kevin actually hit me to it, the Edgy Christian show, the episode that you were on, and so I immediately
totally
went to it.
Totally reeks of awesomeness.
Are they going to talk about the Bullet Club? The Mullet Club. That was perfect.
Oh, man, so great. Those guys are hilarious.
And that one part, and I was stoked they even kept in the can we talk about that period of time where you were at this place for this long? I was like, oh, man, that's just hilarious. And I remember seeing you do a house show in Kent, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of my favorite experiences because of you, because you wrestled two matches in that night.
Oh, shoot.
You started in the beginning, started at the end, and at some point you were outside. And, you know, the house shows are a little bit more intimate.
Right.
And you grabbed some dude's beer and took a swig and handed it back to him.
Was it a beer?
Maybe it was a soda.
I hope it was a soda.
Yeah,
I would have puked if it was a beer.
Fair enough.
I'm not a beer guy.
Well, whatever it was hilarious. I was just like, that is awesome. I mean, it's got to be fun for you to have those opportunities where you could, you know, when there's TV cameras, obviously there's a certain way to do things. But when you're just doing it I mean, I would imagine that's when it all boils down to just having fun, doing the art of wrestling, and interacting and engaging the fans.
Right. That, I think that's the key word, is interacting with the fans, man. That's important. They wanna be part of the show, man. Mm-hmm. You got to welcome them in, and then, you know, not only entertain them in the ring, but even outside, if you can do a little something, you know, make them feel part of the show, I think that's important.
Oh, it's huge. And we were just talking with Apollo Crews just a few minutes ago, and we were just talking about how, like, the things that are going on with NXT, and now one of the cooler things is also all of a sudden guys that aren't in the WWE circle are on the radar, probably in the eyes of the upper people in the WWE, because, oh, wow, these guys are connecting with the audience, and we didn't even realize that they were connecting with the audience. And I think the ultimate example was the Royal Rumble. When you came out, you know, I would imagine maybe some of them are thinking, you know, maybe some people will know him, but the whole place erupted.
That's what I was thinking. Oh, I hope someone knows me.
Right.
And it erupted.
There's a couple people
like,
knew you.
Yeah, just a couple, man.
Yeah, three or four.
I was like, all right, somebody knows. You know,
as how good
I
did
stop
that feel?
And take it all in, like, oh, my God.
I was
God.
Watching at home, and me and my friend, as soon as you came out, we did the AJ pose back at home in our beanbag chairs. It was awesome, dude.
It was badass. I don't know if you guys had a chance, but I watched some of the reactions. On the YouTube, and I was like, oh man, that's awesome. You know, that, oh, I can't believe people care.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it was awesome.
And I think it probably opened the eyes of a lot of people, like, oh wow, oh, this was a very smart move on our part to get this fellow, AJ Styles.
Well, you know,
WWE.
I've been asked before, he's like, how did you keep your name and stuff? I'm like, I have no idea how I kept it, you know, the whole phenomenal, everything, literally. And I'm glad that they did. And I'm sure that when they got the reaction, they were glad. Yeah, they kept the name as well, you know, because you just said, you know, the fans in, you know, at the Rumble saw what was on the TitanTron, you know,
right?
I am, and then the Phenomena popped up, but you didn't see that on television. You just heard this
random music,
right?
Yeah. And then
the random music, and then this eruption. You're like, who is it?
It's Ray J. Giles.
Yes, it's that kid from Fire Pro Wrestling. Yeah,
the awesome one.
Yeah. I mean, really. But they were very smart in the way that they did it, and it worked out perfectly.
And we're seeing it now with Nakamura. I just read that, you know, he's keeping the Nakamura name. And, I mean, there was once a time where that was just unheard of. And now all of a sudden, I mean, I think it's nice that they're acknowledging, okay, we don't need to completely erase that guy's past.
Right. I mean, I think that he was such a huge star. Mm-hmm. I think that it could have backfired if you did call him something different.
Yeah.
I mean, he was one of the biggest stars in Japan, not just in, you know, New Japan, but in Japan.
Yes. And we just saw Samoa Joe walk by, and it just made me realize that this is... I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's fat.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. He's Jake. No.
How about some Scott Steiner?
He's fat!
I'm just making sure he was far enough away from me when I said that.
But it's insane. Like, some of the guys... Is there anybody that you see in the WWE locker room nowadays, and you're like, I can't believe even he's here?
You know what? I've been in Gorilla... me, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, go, holy crap, guys. Do you believe this? And you were like, yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, Joe and I...
You guys are wrestling in, like, armories.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
10 years ago.
I think, I want to say me and Kevin, maybe a year and a half ago, wrestled on an independent together against each other.
That's insanity.
And
House of Hardcore. Yeah, I remember that.
Yes,
I got that
exactly,
DVD.
Exactly. Joe's one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we've came up through this business together.
Yeah.
And we looked at we were going out to eat last night, him and I, and we were going to meet Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels, you know,
so
our
cool.
buddies. And we kind of looked at him, dude, we're in WWE.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we are. That's awesome. You know, like you just kind of pinch yourself.
Yeah, as I said, it's got to be a 13 or 14-year-old version of yourself that if, like, you went back in time and said, hey, this journey will be, you know, a different one, and I'm going to go different turns and take different forks in the road that some might say, but... All roads will end up at WrestleMania 32. I'm going to be in the ring with Y2J. I mean, I wouldn't
have believed it.
Right.
I really wouldn't have.
How much fun has it been to be doing stuff? Because I think it's got to be a nice feather in your cap because, you know, you hear Chris Jericho talking. He's like, the only time I want to come back and do stuff in the WWE is if I think it's going to be fun and I'm going to enjoy the program that I'm going to have with. And here you are, WrestleMania 32, and it's you and just the whole tag team angle that happened.
Yeah, the fact that he has said that, I didn't know he had said that. The fact that he says that says a lot about Chris Jericho, and it makes me feel good that he thinks that we can get in there and we gel well together, which I think we do.
Oh, you brought out the best in him in a long time.
You mean Y2 Jackass?
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, the guy's such a professional.
Oh, the one clip?
Perfectionist and professional, all in the same...
And I think he's at his best when he's the quote unquote jerk.
Oh yeah,
with the can and, or the pail and the fire and burning the shirt, and saying your name. It was like, this is amazing.
They always say that there's a part of you that, you know, I'm like, all right, Chris, I'm going to stay on your good side.
One last question. You know, all morning we're doing all the radio interviews. We're going to NXT tonight. We're doing a lot of the indie shows while we're here. WrestleMania, of course. I mean, from the minute we wake up to the minute we go to bed for the next few days, it's all about wrestling. Outside of wrestling, is there something in your life that you love doing that you could spend an entire weekend doing?
Oh, that's easy. I'm addicted to video games.
I knew it.
I just have a problem. I have arcade machines in my house. I have old school games in my house that I play.
No way.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, I have the new stuff, man. I just can't help myself. I have an addiction.
What's the current obsession? What game?
I don't know if you guys played it, but I really enjoy the new Call of Duty. I think it's really fun. It's
all
different.
Right.
It's the maps are smaller. But at the same time, there's a couple – they've changed some stuff. They've tweaked it where it's – I think it's a great game, man. I really enjoy playing it.
Are you
awesome.
Are you anxious for next year when the new WWE game comes out? And,
heck,
and
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my kids are like, Dad, you're going to be on the next? I'm like, yes, I am.
You better believe
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I just hope I'm in at least an 88 on there.
88 or higher.
Totally not going to be. I'll be an 82
We'll
probably.
See. We'll see.
I think Xavier Woods was an 83.
Okay.
Which was, I think, higher than DDP, which I disagree with.
Do you guys talk about that in the locker room? Like, what you're rated, like, out of 100 on your video games? That's awesome. Yeah,
you know what? We played it. I don't know if you guys knew this, but AT&T Stadium, we actually played it on Up, Up, Down, Down.
Mm-hmm.
On the big screen.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. It was pretty awesome.
Well, we got AJ Styles. I'd like to thank you. I know I got to let you run. You got other stuff to do, but we really appreciate you taking time to talk to us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. We are now here with the man himself. We were just talking with AJ Styles. You walked by.
Yes,
and I'm
yes.
like, AJ, do you realize that you and Samoa Joe are at WrestleMania weekend? That is so surreal. How is it for you?
It's kind of the same, man. I gotta admit, you know, we were driving to dinner last night and, we kind of, yeah, there's a moment in the car, I kind of look over him and I go, what the hell are we doing here, man? He's like, I don't know. So, you know, we'll keep it at that.
What's been your favorite memory or just something that's popping up in your head? You're like, you know, this is pretty damn awesome. Like something that's gone on since you've joined the WWE crew.
You know, honestly, you know, from SummerSlam to here, like, you know, just this whole experience, man. It's just from, you know, being, you know, from fan access to, you know, just how crazy the fan. I mean, we've taken over the town of Dallas, man.
Yeah.
No easy feat. It's a big town. You know what I mean? And it's funny. Everywhere we've gone, there's been wrestling fans, and you know, at the risk of sounding Beatle-ish, just being swarmed. You know, going to Walmart's kind of weird.
Oh, it's got to be the
weirdest
thing.
You know, hey, let's go get a 5-hour energy. You walk in there, it's like, oh god.
I don't need any more energy. I got people chasing.
Find the nearest drive-through liquor store. Yeah, yeah.
And here you
Maybe
are.
We should have went to Walmart. That was kind of a first mistake, right, guys?
No wrestling fans at Walmart.
Yeah,
you would have been great.
No.
Yeah. Well, here you are. You're going to be on the main event of NXT TakeOver, and that's tonight. That's got to be pretty awesome knowing that, like, you know, A, it seems to be the hottest ticket right now. Everybody is, like, going nuts trying to get a ticket to this because it sold out so quick.
So I was scalping my No, yeah, it was crazy. I was talking to a few people who were talking about, like, some of the ticket prices for to get in the building tonight, and I was just like,
whew. Yeah, we saw, like, at one point, I think something was, like, on StubHub yesterday, like $400.
Yeah, $400.
That's like Super
cheapest.
Bowl.
Yeah, I literally want to meet that guy who paid that and just walk in, are you not entertained, you know, and then kind of give him the...
That's the guy you have to perform for.
Yeah, yeah.
He should hold a sign saying,
that poor guy.
I'm that guy.
Yeah, I'm that guy.
I'm the guy who dropped four bills.
Yeah.
Let's make this happen. How pumped are you to be a part of it? I mean, you got you taking on Finn Balor. The two of you have just been magic so far in NXT. It's got to be a blast that tonight all eyes are going to be on you guys.
Absolutely, man. You know, it's funny how NXT has kind of just been this avalanche and just has evolved and changed so much, even within the past 2 years. I mean, even within the year that I've been here.
Yeah.
And to kind of be a part of this groundswell, it's been an amazing experience.
Oh, absolutely. Do you look forward to, like, what's next? I mean, as far as, like, you know, everyone's got their speculations.
Absolutely.
You know, we're, as fans, we geek out. We read all the internet stuff.
You know, it's funny, before I had kind of debuted here, you know, everybody had their speculations and stuff. And you know, it's literally the same question I got last year when I was doing media rounds around WrestleMania time. But you know what? It's funny, man. I will say this. I would hate to ruin a special moment. So, you know, keep your eyes peeled. Check out Raw. Check out SmackDown. And check out NXT on Wednesdays. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Something I kind of freaked out about is the fact that when you came back, you were wearing when you came to NXT, you were wearing a Samoa Joe t-shirt. There was, like, memes of, like, welcome to NXT with Joey Samoa.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so it was just so cool to see, like, you are
Samoa Joe in a WWE product.
Yeah,
he,
man.
He was incredible.
Get a good lawyer, guys.
It seems like you're paving the way for a lot of guys. AJ Styles, and then you got now Nakamura.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in a lot of ways, I think my entrance in the WWE was very experimental, and the experiment has been working so far. So I think it did kind of give a little bit of leeway to other people who they're going to bring in and kind of, you know, maybe open the door a little bit for you know, them to realize, okay, you know, if a guy's kind of branded and has something behind him, let's ride with it and see what we can do with it.
Who's the guy that when you first went into the locker room that you sought out? Like, who's that one dude that you were like, I'm so pumped and I'm going to get to work with this guy?
You know, obviously, it's funny, you know, me and Kevin Owens have known each other for a long time. We met early, really, really early in his career in mm-hmm. Montreal, and seeing Kevin kind of evolve into what he has today. Same with Sami Zayn. You know, Sami was another guy that, you know, I worked with probably very, very early in his career in Montreal, and to see the journey that they took, and seeing them kind of come up and grow in places that you know I started in.
Yeah.
You know, it was there's kind of a kinship there, and then you know, obviously Finn, I've known for years, and you know, working with him and now working across from him, and seeing, you know, just all the momentum that he gained and what he's become has been, you know, kind of awesome. So I mean, those are definitely the guys.
Oh, it's gonna be a blast to see you and Finn mix it up. I would imagine he's gonna be in his full demon outfit and all that.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be all pretty painted up.
Yeah. I have a question, because you've done so many different places and different places in the world, yep. Wrestling all over. I mean, you've been doing it and grinding away forever. Is there one memory that pops in the back of your head as being like that most embarrassing moment while you were in the ring?
No, because I'm awesome and I don't have such things.
That's the answer I was hoping for.
Good yes. Lord.
I mean,
good.
Why would I ask such a stupid question?
You know, the question was the most embarrassing that's happened in my career.
I agree. I have let you down. I think I should turn in my radio broadcaster card. I'm done. We're just going to enjoy wrestling as fans again.
So there's a match right now that, I mean, for years it's been a bit of a cult classic on YouTube. You versus Necro Butcher.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that going down. Like, how brutal was that? Not to you, but just how injured was he at the end of that one?
He wasn't at all, because the good old Necro is he's an anomaly unto himself. It's funny, man. He's he means well, but he's blind as a bat, and he swings for the fences, man. And I will say this, man, I love Necro to death. Outside the ring, probably one of the sweetest human beings you'll ever meet. It's hard for people to believe, but you know, once he gets in there,
I've heard him on podcast. He's smart. He's a smart dude.
Incredibly intelligent. Intelligent. I think it doesn't get enough credit, because you know, when you see a guy walking on broken glass and bare feet, it's hard to really talk up his intelligence. You know, he's just this crazy anomaly of a man that's just he's indestructible, and he's just like, man, bring it, Big Daddy. All right, let's go.
And Joe, we're gonna see you tonight. NXT. Check it on the network. NXT Takeover. Thank you so much for taking some time and talking to
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Chance. Pleasure.
All right, here we are. We're hanging out with Peter Rosenberg, the man himself, the host of Cheap Heat, a hot 97. I'm a New York guy. I grew up in New York, so in Brooklyn, right by Kings Plaza Shopping Mall.
Kings Plaza Mall.
Yep.
An underrated staple of early hip-hop folklore.
Oh, all right. I like it.
It's a place, I mean, a lot of people hang out there.
Oh, absolutely. Right there on Avenue U in Flatbush, man. That was my whole life.
Yeah, my grandparents always lived, and the house is still there, owned by my
aunt in Rockaway. So Kings Plaza is very close.
Oh, right on. Okay, yeah. So for those that don't know, Peter Rosenberg, you got Cheap Heat. Well, if you're a wrestling fan, you're listening to this podcast, you're very aware of Cheap Heat.
You know Cheap Heat. You also know Hot 97.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But for the wrestling fans,
yes.
Did you ever think that hey, I want to do a wrestling podcast because I'm a fan of wrestling. Did you ever think that it would blow up as huge as it's blown up to become?
I don't know. When I first started doing a lot of wrestling stuff about 7-8 years ago, I don't know what expectations I had for it. But I guess I am surprised that the podcast specifically has done this well, because we don't really have guests or anything.
Right.
You know, that's what's sort of cool, is that it's really just a pure fans
podcast.
I think anytime you could kind of make it feel like the people listening are sitting in the room with you guys, and that's kind of, as I listen every week, and when I'm listening to it, it's just like, oh, you almost want to yell out something because you're like, oh, I'm in the room with them. Oh, wait, no, I'm just listening on the podcast. But like, that's the environment that you guys have kind of created and fostered on that podcast, is just three dudes just shooting the S.
You have your own dictionary of terms now.
Yes, we do. That part's cool. You know, that's a big part of it, though. It's funny. I realized that sort of later into doing the show, is that a big part of its success is having a language that people talk and feel like they're a part of, you know,
like their own inside joke.
Yeah, that's always a big thing. It's a big thing for radio. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing for podcasts. I think it's even bigger for podcasts. But yeah, I didn't think it would be as well received as it's been, and I'm excited, and it's led to some cool stuff. And you know, this week I'm working with I ended up getting a job with ESPN unrelated to the podcast.
Yeah, that's so badass.
Thank you. But now I'm using the podcast because I'm the wrestling guy on the podcast, which is through ESPN, even though it's up till now, it's been happenstance that I did the podcast and worked at ESPN.
Yeah.
The company's so big that like they just weren't connected.
But so we need a podcast. We have one.
Right. So that kind of did happen, actually. I was told. So exactly. Like, no one even knows. Because when Grantland left, we fell into like the abyss of ESPN. And ESPN is a huge universe.
It was like 1 week off. I was like, is it going to die?
And the crazy part is people still come up to me and they're like, yo, when are you guys coming back? I'm like, bro, did you ever just search Cheap Heat in iTunes? It's not that hard. Like, why? What was your... So you stopped getting the feed. I understand. That's super annoying.
Yes.
But you never just clicked search one more time?
No, like, you guys are done.
Hard.
Yeah.
So,
no goodbye, no nothing. Damn you, Rosenberg.
So now I'm doing... I'll be doing red carpet for the Hall of Fame on Saturday night.
Wow.
For ESPN. And then I'm interviewing Snoop Dogg about his Hall of Fame induction for SportsCenter on Sunday.
That's
so
badass.
If only they had a guy that knows hip-hop music there. Interview Snoop Dogg.
Oh, right.
I mean,
it is funny though that it ends up being literally the hybrid of everything. Like,
yes,
it's a wrestling thing. We have a rapper here. Mm-hmm. Who could do this? Mm-hmm. Well, it sure as hell better be me, or I'm not doing my job. I would have been pissed if it was someone else. But they got someone else to interview Snoop Dogg at WrestleMania who's not me. Like, this has to be. I work at ESPN. I would have killed myself.
That would have been a dick move on there. But they're like, you know what? Even like an April Fool's prank.
Yeah,
Rosenberg. I know you like everything, and you're knowledgeable about everything.
But no, this isn't for you.
We got somebody else. Yeah.
You know what? I don't know why I thought of this, but for whatever reason, when you said the thing about shouting out in your room, it did give me an idea about the podcast, though. I think I would like to find a way to incorporate callers here and there. You know, I think that would be something, that a new twist to add to it, that, you know, there are podcasts that like have a lot of calls, but those podcasts, and this is going to sound like,
welcome everybody to the Wrestling Observer Hotline.
Okay, I wasn't going to go there, but yes, it is. It's a lot like that, right?
Shots fired by Kevin.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian Alvarez is my dude.
No, and listen, and I haven't listened to Brian's show, but like, I listen to Wade, love Wade, super knowledgeable wrestling mind. He's not a radio host. That's just not, these guys are really great, and I used to listen a lot, so I certainly understand, especially early on when other wrestling podcasts weren't getting done, these were the only ways to really hear about wrestling, and they were really knowledgeable. Wade Keller's super knowledgeable, so is Brian Alvarez. So they know a lot of stuff, so it's great to hear. What we do is a little different. It's more like an entertaining radio show.
For sure.
Right, where we reference wrestling, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So adding the caller element is kind of just like making it more of a radio show.
Yeah.
And I love interacting with callers. I love fighting with callers. And just so that you just saying that made me think, like, maybe we should have an opportunity for people to participate a little bit more.
Do we do a segment on our radio show called Listeners on the Loose? And for the last hour of our show, we just, you know, the screener just puts up whoever wants to talk about whatever. And it's my favorite segment for that reason, because it's like there's so many loose wild cards that, you know, that loose cannon that's going to call in, and you can't plan it. You can't.
You don't know what you're going to get out of that. I totally agree. Yeah. I love doing that. So thank you for the inspiration.
That's what we're here for, man. We're your think tank.
Yeah, who knew it? Who knew I would learn so much from you guys.
What's been your favorite? I guess of all, since you've been doing stuff that involves wrestling, so it's kind of like become a quote unquote profession, but it's obviously a passion as well. A favorite memory in the last few years because of what you're doing that you had an opportunity to experience.
I mean, these are all really good. These WrestleManias are all really good.
Yep.
You know, I spent many years working to build the relationship with the company that I have, where I'm still critical and I'm still honest, but they still treat me well. And that's a nice place to be in.
Yes.
Where I still get, you know, I get good seats to stuff. And it took a long time. And so I'll tell you that. I never take that part for granted. Literally going to shows and sitting close.
I'm with you.
I do not take that for granted.
I got to be front row for Daniel Bryan's retirement speech.
Oh,
and
dude.
We were his family, a guy that works for the Seahawks, me. So he hugs the Seahawk guy because he knows him. And then he's like, well, I mean, I'm part of
it. You got
it
on the hug?
Yeah, got on the high five and the hug.
Oh, that's mage. Dude, that's mage.
It was huge. I was just like,
so I never take that for granted, getting to be close to stuff.
And, seeing fans have cheap heat signs, it's got to blow you away.
That's really dope.
We saw it in Seattle. We saw the shirts.
Oh, really? Yeah. The cheap heat shirts are getting around. That's really cool. And, you know, seeing the mage signs and stuff like that's really cool. So, I don't know. I love that we have like a little community and people are really into it. And I'm extremely proud of the Cheap Heat show. I mean, I'm as proud of that. I mean, I'm wearing it on my jacket. I'm patched up. I'm as proud of that as anything that I do. I'm really into it.
And you could tell. I mean, it shows definitely. You guys do a great job.
I have weeks. You can also tell I didn't watch Raw. But that's called being a normal wrestling fan. So
I enjoy those episodes when you sound like you're like, what happened? Oh, I'm sorry. What was going on?
Because they fill you in and you're like, I didn't miss much.
I didn't exactly. Yeah. And I'm comfortable with it. And I'm even comfortable with the WWE hearing that because I'm like, listen, guys, I will support the product every week. That doesn't mean I'm able to sit through 3 hours of Raw every week.
You have to be real.
I'm interested. Yeah. I'm obviously here doing a podcast about it, but doesn't mean I need to watch every minute of every episode. But that's what I mean, just part of the regular fan, you know, part of it.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes. I know you're a busy man.
Dude, no, I'm just dealing with random crap from the radio station, but it's great being with radio guys who can appreciate that situation.
Dude, absolutely. I'm afraid to look at my emails right now for that same reason, because it's like I'm the point of contact.
Off.
Right? Well, it's still early, so I want to get this done right now.
So you can enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Exactly.
Well, Peter Rosenberg, Cheap Heat. Check him out over there and on Twitter if anyone wants to find you.
Rosenberg Radio, Twitter, Instagram, everything, Snapchat, whatever.
Awesome, dude. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
We're in the middle of a think tank right now with the New Day. Talk about t-shirts. It's what are we working on?
It's real. Yeah, you ain't going to know. We're in the Bootios space right now.
This is live?
You know about the Bootios. Oh, yeah. We're live right now?
Perfect.
And
live.
Speaking of your merchandise, this is I'm very sad I did not bring my coffee mug with me, but every day my coffee mug is the New Day mug.
No, it's not.
I'll prove it to you right now.
Do we have a mug?
We do.
Mug.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's somewhere in here. There we go. Right there.
Proof. Nice. That's it. I like it.
I drink my booty every morning.
There you go. You drink your booty?
Drink your booty.
That didn't sound right. The booty juice, yes.
That's right.
Ain't nothing wrong with drinking booty.
No. As long as you use the stevia, it's fine.
Yeah.
For health reasons.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. It's put natural sugar in there, real sugar. I like sugar. You know?
You guys will probably get a kick out of this. I have a dude that I know that plays for the Seahawks. He just recently re-signed with the team, and when he re-signed with the team, he was wearing his New Day shirt.
I think someone sent us a picture of
AJ Francis.
Yeah. No, he hits us up on Twitter often.
He had a shirt on and a hoodie, didn't he?
Yes,
somebody sent us that picture.
And yesterday, he sent me, I was talking to him because he's coming also, and he's going to try and swing by at some point here to hang out with me.
Got it.
Cool.
Yeah, but he was just like, I'm wearing my New Day shirt and my New Day hoodie right now.
Phenomenal.
Yes. Man,
how do you get
phenomenal.
That's got to feel great to know like everybody from football players to stupid radio guys, we're all geeking out over the New Day.
It feels good. It's cool because like we talk about this a lot, like all the hard work that's gone into it. So it's nice to see like the fruits of our labor.
Yeah.
You know, people are appreciating it. Even like if they're not like huge fans of it, they can appreciate what we're doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Does it feel good also knowing that I think when the New Day first debuted, there was a lot of negativity and thinking.
A lot of negativity.
Not from our end.
We have to cleanse these guys.
And you cleanse them.
That's right.
Yeah.
We had to force the power of positivity down people's throats. I mean, even 365 days ago at WrestleMania, we were getting booed out of the stadium. And then the next day at Raw, we were getting booed out of the building. And then you fast forward, 365 days later, and people are buying Bootios shirts and Bootios boxes and talking about
Bootios boxes. Yeah.
It's so absurd.
You're drinking booty in the morning. You know what I'm saying? So,
dude, get your hot cup of booty.
Yo, now the power of positivity done worked, y'all done came around.
Yeah, one of the things I enjoy the most is hearing little kids say bootios, like demanding bootios.
Oh, yeah.
And that's real weird.
And their parents smiling.
Yeah, the parents are into it as well.
Smiling or gritting their teeth, they're like, I have to now explain to my kid what bootios means.
Yeah, it's cereal. Positivity.
But it means whatever you want it to mean.
Exactly. Right. The bootios are loose. Within you. We
keep it loose. The booty is loose. You know, the bootios are loose.
I keep it tight. Keep it tight.
In life, we should strive for a loose booty.
Well, right? Man, I'm gonna strive for it, but if it's loose, your bootios will, make sure you ain't booty.
We accept all kinds of booties. Yeah. Loose, tight, in between, fat.
In between, everything.
I like a fat personally.
Fat?
Fat and juicy?
Every booty is different.
Fat, juicy booties?
Yeah. Every booty is different.
Like
that's
a steak.
The great thing. It's like life.
Steak, just like a steak.
Yeah.
Medium rare.
What's the flame rare? What's the new steak?
Oh,
Blue rare.
What it's just seared, but it's rare on the inside.
That's right.
Crazy.
That's like taking a lighter to it. And that's cooked.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I don't trust that.
Yeah.
Do you go that raw?
I go medium. I mean, I go raw.
Right. Ooh, baby, you like it raw.
Yeah.
Oh, DB, ooh, I like it raw. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy.
What? We love happening? ODB.
ODB, trippy, trippy.
Yeah.
ODB.
You know, it's we're talking about music. Earlier we had Bray Wyatt on, and we were talking about Rage Against the Machine, how he does feel like certain artists do help inspire what he does in the ring as far as what the character is.
Yeah.
How about for you guys? I would imagine that there's got to be some inspiration outside of the wrestling world that that bleeds over into what you guys are doing.
Huge. Yeah, the cool thing is we have a long leash when it comes to promos and all the nonsense that we say, so we get to just plug the things that we enjoy, which is very cool. So Woods will always drop a video game reference. And we all love hip-hop as well, and I'm a big hip-hop head as well. So,
well, and the Tribe Called Quest, the tribute that you did was just top-notch.
I got to meet Consequence afterwards, too. I didn't realize he was even in the building. We did it at MSG, and we did it again in Brooklyn a few years later. But it was cool because, for me as a kid, I remember Tribe Called Quest records that really spoke to me. Like, Stressed Out is still one of my favorite songs. So it's cool to look back at the things that really moved you when you were a teenager, and now you're able to meet some of these people who like put these records together, and they're fans of what you do, and that's pretty wild to think of like 14-year-old me listening to a Tribe record and then meeting Consequence later is cool.
And getting to use a microphone in front of hundreds of thousands of people on television and people there to be able to do a tribute, which is just awesome.
Yeah, and then I think Joe Quinn, who works with us in PR, told me, I think Fife's manager was actually in the building for that. So like, a lot of people, it was cool because I wasn't, it was just one of those things, like I just wanted to take a second to say, hey man, I appreciate what Fife did for us as far as music is concerned. And it was cool to hear back from people who were close to him who appreciated that.
I can only imagine. For you guys, you're meeting a lot of guys, and has there ever been someone that you were completely starstruck by?
It didn't have anything to do with, like, wrestling.
Practical Jokers.
Right,
for you. Impractical Jokers, for sure.
Impractical Jokers. I did lose my mind. I lost my mind. But, like, they're, like, huge wrestling fans, so we're, like, losing our minds, like, at each other. So that was pretty cool.
Getting weirded out by each other's fandom.
It was intense.
Quite a sight.
It really was.
I, like, legit just dropped my bags and ran up to him, like, oh, my God, you're Quinn. He goes, oh, my God, you're Woods. And I was like, oh, this is good. So we actually just had them on Up, Up, Down, Down YouTube gaming channel.
Right.
Go subscribe ASAP. But as far as just starstruck in general, like, I lost my mind when I met Walter Jones. He played the original Black Ranger in Power Rangers.
Okay.
Because I was at a convention dressed like the Black Ranger, like super fan type stuff.
You got a hightail to Seattle. They got the big Comic-Con next weekend.
They do.
We're in L.A. next week. Maybe a quick
West Coast,
quick trip from L.A.
It's
to Seattle.
It's not that quick, is it?
No,
it's a couple hours.
We might know a couple of people that might be able to hook you up with some passes. I don't know.
Plane tickets?
You know, we have mutual love for the loose booty. I'll help you out.
Count it!
I'll be my Sultan. Look, he's cool. I'm down with him. We both love the loose booty and the blue steak.
Like, well,
give him a pass.
They're like, maybe just leave him at home.
Then. Wait, what?
Loose booty, blue steak. Perfect.
And he's dressing like me. What?
Yeah. So for you guys now at WrestleMania, everyone, I'm sure you're not going to share it with me, but you know, you got the big entrance. Everyone's really curious, especially for you guys. Like for me, I would lose my mind if you came out with like an orchestra of trombone players, or you know, maybe I don't know if we could get a couple unicorns. And this you're gonna notice, but you know,
they're extinct. They just found their bones.
There's evidence that one may have existed.
Did exist
several years ago. That's very crazy. Here's my issue that with the entrance should be really cool, but I'm just worried because I'm always paranoid that things will eventually not work out, and that so right now it looks like we have something very cool on the table.
Okay.
But we've spent so all these interviews we've been hyping up this entrance. We've been hyping up for weeks now, and if it gets cut, people will be sorely disappointed.
Yeah.
Well, my concern is that we get to rehearsal and then something doesn't work out. I was like, hey man, I'm sorry, but we have to scrap it. And now we just come out as normal us and people and what was all this months awesome. Of build?
So it was months ago when we were doing a radio thing and you're like, oh, the entrance we have should be really cool. I was like, why are you even talking about it?
No, like, I feel like it wasn't. I wasn't the first one.
Yes, you were.
No, exactly. Cope was the first one. And then he started it. And I was like, well, it was on my mind. So
I just stay silent when people ask about it because I'm like, I don't know. I mean,
it should
hopefully
as planned. It should be very memorable.
I can't wait.
I feel like it would if we get what we think we have, then it would be way cooler if there was no hype and it just happened. But now I feel like there's hype and like people be like, that's cool, but not as cool as the hype made it.
So look forward to being disappointed.
Right on. So yeah.
It's gonna suck.
Tune in Sunday to be disappointed by the new day.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I appreciate you guys hanging out with us. One last question. I was hoping you could do me a huge favor.
Yeah.
So we do a segment on our show called Facebook Drama where we find actual Facebook posts and we recreate them. Like we pull out our thespian muscles, and I was wondering if you would be up for reenacting a Facebook drama.
East thespian muscle is huge.
Yeah, Biggie's got a huge thespian muscle.
Do you have to pause that?
Now it's time
Once again, this is our opportunity to point out some of the stupidity that is happening on Facebook. These are actual Facebook posts and the drama that unfolds as acted out by us. But this time around, we've got a couple of friends from the WWE helping us. We've changed the names to protect the innocent or the stupid, but playing the roles this time around. Working their thespian muscles. We're going to have Kofi Kingston from the New Day, all three members of the New Day. We have Kofi playing the role of Hank. We're going to have Big E be Max. Xavier Woods, you're going to be Fred, and I'll play the role of Rob. So Hank, a.k.a. Kofi Kingston, take it away.
Seriously, who stole my money?
Huh? What?
It had to be one of you.
Me?
One of us? The fact that you guys aren't even replying confirmed it. You owe me money. I want it back. Cash money now.
What the hell are you talking about?
Hank, are you drunk?
Yeah, Hank is hammered, and Hank wants his money back. Hank is talking in the third person. Hank, you don't want to mess with Hank. Why isn't anyone replying to Hank?
Because we don't want to be accused of stealing money, you dummy.
How much was stolen?
$13 out of my wallet.
$13? All this over $13? Come on, Hank.
Hank, go take a nap and sleep off being drunk. It's only 11 a.m.
Hank found the money.
Hello, where?
It fell on the floor. Hand was standing on it.
Ink, turn off the caps lock and go to bed.
That end scene.
End scene.
And that's
oh
Facebook
my.
Drama with oh the new my. Date. That was very booty.
And it did say hand at the end. I didn't
that was a typo.
My
yes.
name, it says hand.
Yes, yes, it does. Yes.
Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate it. All right, we are just about done, but our man AJ Francis from the Seahawks, right, hanging out also not only on the BJ and Migs in the morning, but you're hanging out on my podcast, yeah, man, the Migscast.
Yeah, man, I'm glad to be here.
Are we going to have any issues with Aaron and Glenn from jobbing out? Are they going to be upset that you're...
I'll just make sure that you gotta cut them a check too, you know? It's a team deal.
Dude, I said it on the air, and I'll say it. If you are a wrestling fan, you have to check out Jobbing Out.
I appreciate that.
I just love the way that you just don't hold back with the way that you talk to those guys. And I think they're great. But when you're on and the three of you are going and then you just start going off, I think it's some of the funniest. It's like how we would be in a living room talking about wrestling is the vibe that I get from Jobbing Out.
Yeah, it just doesn't – like to me, so many people have – like you're allowed to have an opinion about something. But just because it's your opinion doesn't make it a fact.
Right.
Like people – believe like people might truly believe that Roman Reigns is bad. That's not a fact. He's actually fantastic. There's a reason why Triple H is trying to get him over, because he knows that he's a superstar. He performs with all the best people all the time.
I agree.
But he
man.
Just gets booed because he's not Daniel Bryan. I mean, that's the only reason he started getting booed.
I have another theory on that as well. We were talking about when we were having dinner last night, and I feel it's the CM Punk effect. If you remember when he did that interview with Colt Cabana, which was an awesome interview, but he made it a point. There was a couple people he pinpointed, but one of them was Roman Reigns. He's like, oh yeah, we always have to make Roman look strong. And I feel like that put a bad taste in the mouth of the obsessive wrestling fans like we are. Not for me, because we've had him on before, and I think he's awesome, and I do enjoy what he does in the ring, and I think he's gotten a bum deal for the Daniel Bryan stuff, and I'm a huge Daniel Bryan fan, but, you know, more than one person can have the moment in the sun.
Exactly. That's the funniest thing, was that before Daniel Bryan got his WrestleMania moment, people always complained about how, oh, we need to make more stars. We're not making stars. Right. We need to make more stars. So then they make Daniel Bryan. Then the next year, instead of making a new star in Roman Reigns, they wanted Daniel Bryan to stay the star.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
When wrestling fans are never happy.
No.
And I always argue with this. Sometimes when people get all worked up about the story, I'm like, let the storyline breathe.
Yes, dude.
Right. I mean, there are times where we are so quick to dismiss a story. It's like, well, we don't know what the twists and turns are going to be. They could be the most awesome twists and turns, but because you're the – and you even brought it up in your last episode, and I love that you brought that up when you said the Brooklyn crowd for Raw was embarrassing.
They're terrible.
And I grew up in Brooklyn, and I love Brooklyn people. Like, you know, but like I watch that, and I'm just like – can you just let these
wrestlers... They make it about themselves.
They do.
Like, you're not in the ring, dude. Shut the hell up.
Right. We don't need to hear you chant random crap. It's not funny.
No one wants
cool.
to hear a Byron Saxton chant.
Ever. Right.
It was funny one time.
It was funny, and I did laugh. I can't lie. I did laugh when they chanted Byron Saxton. But, like, dude... Let these guys are in the ring. They were chanting boring during Charlotte and Becky.
And that was a great match.
And it was a great match. It's terrible, man. It really is.
It gets frustrating, and that's what I love about like we had Sam Roberts on and Peter Rosenberg, and I feel like you guys are doing podcasts that are making it. It's not just about talking about wrestling and being serious about wrestling. It's like, you know what? We're all just – we joke around about this. Why can't we joke around about it on audio entertainment?
Yeah.
And like I mentioned this morning, the – all right, I got to ask you because we have a few minutes. You do the interview with Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And he's saying all this crazy stuff. The story about WrestleMania 13 is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Even bringing up the Nasty Boys and the program that – I was like, oh, that's so cool that he acknowledged
them. And I saw
–
and the crazy part is I saw – it was so random. I saw the Nasty Boys in my hotel today. And I was talking to them about it. And they were like, oh, he was talking about that match. That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have all this going on. And when you guys hung up the phone and you were done with the interview, I was on the plane. I remember I was like, I got to text AJ when I get off the plane. Because you asked me, hey, what'd you think of the interview? I'm like, I'm going to listen on the plane. I felt the same way you guys did. Like, the Kevin, you'll love this. Like, they hang up the phone, and all they could do was, like, there was that pause. Like, did that really just happen? And then three grown men, like,
really
we would
just
be,
call Hulk Hogan a piece of shit.
Right. And they're all going, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there going, that was awesome. Like, I was jacked on the plane, which is maybe not a good idea. But I was just like, oh, man. And I've interviewed Bret in the past. I've heard many interviews with him. Hands down, and I'm not saying that because you're here. I'm saying that because I was listening. It was the best interview with Bret Hart.
Oh, thank you, man. I mean.
And that has a lot to do with you because I think he felt comfortable because you guys broke down when you met him.
One thing I've learned, and I didn't expect this, one thing I've learned from meeting, ever since I've been in the NFL, I've met a lot of wrestlers and
take advantage of the opportunity.
And a lot of the wrestlers have, I don't know if they have a comfortability with not just me, but just professional athletes in general, because like you understand the grind and you understand what the life is like, and not everybody does. So like they feel like they can open up more when they're around you and they're more comfortable around you. And plus, a lot of them were athletes in the past.
Right.
So there's the connection there. So I met Bret and we just hit it off. I mean, I met him before we killed the Ravens in Baltimore this year when we played them in Baltimore. And he was just in Baltimore that time, and it just worked out through a mutual friend. He came and visited the team, and he talked with Russell and Pete, and he talked with a whole bunch of guys, came over and took pictures. And I just sat down with Bret Hart at a dinner table before a game and went out and talked to him about wrestling for 3 hours, and it was the greatest night ever.
Well, I remember I got it must have been around the same time I got a text from your teammate Luke Wilson, who we have on our show a lot, and we've in the past talked about how he wants to be Bret Hart for Halloween as his favorite wrestler, and we always geek out about wrestling when we have him on. He sends me a text. He's like, bro, I just met Bret Hart.
Yeah,
and
dude,
like literally like a week after we were talking.
Luke, you're welcome.
Yeah, was that because of you, dude?
Yeah, my buddy Torrey Smith, who plays for the Niners, he used to play for the Ravens, but we went to college in Maryland together, and he has a guy that he knows that's like Bret's manager named Paul, and it just happened to work out that Paul got my number from Torrey and said, I'm with Bret, and he would like to meet Coach Carroll. Do you think you could make that happen? I was like, yeah, duh.
Right.
Does this mean I get to meet Bret too? Okay, then absolutely I can make that happen.
Wow. Dude, that is so badass.
Yeah, dude.
That is unbelievable. Opportunity to do something like that. And even if you're not a wrestling fan, I would imagine you know who Bret Hart is. So for any of the other players that are there, like, okay, who's
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. He has some of the best monikers ever.
The excellence of execution.
Oh,
yes.
The excellence of execution.
Perfect.
And I love the part where you're like, oh, could you always call yourself the main event on your podcast? And you're like, this time around, mid-card.
Yes, dude. Because I do. I always have this gimmick where I come on and they're introducing me and I go, the main event. Event. I have an echo for some reason.
Nice.
And
it's important.
And when I do it, I always do it. But then we had an actual WrestleMania main eventer on the show. So
can't do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't call myself the main event with Bret Hart. Yeah.
Well, we got to wrap things up for the podcast. Thank you for hanging out in the morning and also hanging out here. I'm sure we'll run into you at some of these events. We got to grab a beer
at some
point during this weekend. That would be awesome. AJ Francis from the Seahawks, check out his podcast, Jobbing Out. Kevin, thank you for joining me.
Of course.
AJ Styles, The New Day. Oh, man. Sasha Banks.
Sasha.
Bray, all of them. Samoa Joe. Apollo Crews, all the guys that swung by.
Damn, you guys have a hell of a show.
It's been a busy morning. Not a bad thing, though. I mean, as a wrestling fan, this is a hard job.
We talk to the hardcores, man. We talk to the superstars, man.
It's been a blast. So thank you for listening to Mixcast, and have a great weekend. Stay positive.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.